The EHD update with chat, and then we've got like three resolutions to address.
Mr. Chair, yeah, the next presentation here will be on a hemorrhagic disease update. Again, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. So EHD or blue tongue is something that, you know, we obviously hear from hunters on occasion this time of year. Can vary from year to year as far as the effect on local deer populations, but so hemorrhagic disease, so what is it? You know, epizootic hemorrhagic disease. So epizootic, you know, is an outbreak of an animal disease that spreads quite rapidly. Hemorrhagic is obviously the bleeding of that animal internally, and the disease is caused by a virus that's spread by a biting midge. And we suspected this was likely going to come up, given the vast amount of wet landscape we had, and then some of that quick drastic drawdown of those wetlands and other water bodies. Those mud flats seem to create the nice breeding habitat for that species of midge that kind of serves as a vector of spreading this virus. You can go to the next bullet there, Chris. Sorry, I didn't know you were going to be running this. You know, so EHD and blue tongue, they're both hemorrhagic diseases. They're you know, genetically distinct, but similar. I don't know if they're first or third cousins, but collectively, we throw them into that hemorrhagic disease. Again, it's a seasonal disease. And as we just talked about, usually occurs, late summer and fall. So we're kind of right in the heart or the tail end of this, outbreak, kind of depending upon where, you've had a hard enough freeze to kill these little buggers off and stop that vector from transmitting the disease. So next slide, Chris, and you can just kind of go through all these, but I just wanted to give some symptoms, of this disease. Obviously, when those animals are bleeding internally, they get a high fever. They can obviously look lethargic. They got swelling. They're in distress. And you've probably all have unfortunately encountered deer that have succumbed to this disease. You'll typically find them near a water source. You know, they're hot, they got a fever, throat swelling, tongue hanging. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending how you look at it, it's usually a short-lived thing. Those deer that succumb to this disease typically do not live much more than a few days, and if they do survive, they do have some chronic forms of some other physiological things within that individual, such as, you know, erosion of the dental pad, lesions within the rumen lining. Some deer, I think, can even have some hoof sloughing contributed to surviving hemorrhagic disease. Next slide, Chris. So Steve Griffin put this together. Steve's kind of our ringleader when it comes to monitoring EHD and many other wildlife diseases, but this has kind of changed, I believe, just a little bit for the month of September here, but you can kind of see how the reports of dead deer coming to the department kind of changed through time. This is not a cumulative mapping effort, but indicates the number of deer that reported by month and their distribution across the state. So I worked with Chris Hall within our communications shop here, and because we were getting some reports of dead deer, obviously we want to know about that so we can try to document the loss of that and obviously work with you as a commission if we feel there's any necessary changes for the upcoming season or for staff to take into consideration for future deer recommendations that we bring forward to you as a commission for adoption. Next slide, Chris. So this would have been as of the 29th of September. All the dots on there indicate a geographic area where reports have come in. Staff have an application that on their phone or tablet or their computer where they can enter this information. It all gets updated to our wildlife disease database. You can see the red diamonds would indicate a positive test We don't sample all of these dots you see on the map. Obviously, if we've confirmed it within a county or a unit with a couple deer, we're obviously don't have much of a need to test that deer for EHD anymore that come in, unless there might be some other suspicion that we might want to have that deer tested for something else, whether it's CWD or whatnot. But you can see as of right now, we do have positives all the way across the state from the northwest to the southeast, with the vast majority of our dots coming in, or deer losses coming in, in that west central part of the state, or the northwest. Up in Perkins County, those black dots, I believe, are contributed heavily towards, you remember Andy mentioning we have some research projects going on. I believe a vast majority of those deaths up in northern Perkins County are coming from some of those radio marked deer. Looks like we did confirm one deer positive with that, but as Andy indicated, we're not tracking these close enough for conspecific mortality, and if we can't get to that animal in a timely fashion to remove that spleen and get it sent to the lab, sometimes these deer are just too far gone. And then there in Butte County, it looks like that Belle Fourche Reservoir area there near Newell or Vail, we've got some deaths occurring there. And Commissioner Spring, I think we even got two more positives here yesterday or this morning there in Meade County, southwest of Union Center. So it is out there. So next slide, Chris. So here's just a summary report with a table indicating the number of reports by county. Of those reports, the number of deer associated with those reports, and the number of confirmed positive through testing there at SDSU. So we've got reported losses as of Monday or Tuesday from 25 counties. Again, not all reported deer losses are submitted for testing, and EHD has been confirmed from 15 samples in 11 different counties as of this time. So next slide, Chris. So how does it look like what we're experiencing this year in 2020 compared to previous years? You can see going back nearly 10 years, it kind of varies from real quiet years like in 2009 or 18 or 19 to back to 2012. I think Andy touched upon this in his presentation. We had a substantial EHD outbreak. We had local deer populations that were affected for quite some time after that event there in 2012. And in 2016 was another year where it was noticed along the landscape and some actions were taken. So as of this year, 2020, we're sitting at 364 reported dead deer. That was as of September 29th. So you can see how that compares to where we've been in the past. Next slide, Chris. You can click it again. So you can kind of see this would be our whitetail deer population objectives. You can give it one more click, Chris. You can kind of see that subset map there at the bottom is our reported cases thus far. So we are experiencing some loss in some of those counties or hunting units where we would like to see an increase in that population. So we'll get into some of that here in the next slide, Chris, please. So some of the past management responses, if you look at that, by rule, in administrative rule, Secretary Hepler, in consultation with the commission chair, can limit the sale of unsold deer licenses in units following the second lottery drawing for that respective season. Next slide. So currently we have a minimal number of unsold licenses in some of those applicable deer hunting units where we're experiencing reports of some losses. Next bullet, Chris. So, Mr. Chair, I believe Secretary Hepler and maybe Kevin and Tom did discuss with you yesterday, the department did recommend removing all unsold antlerless white-tailed deer licenses in those respective counties. You can see the respective number of licenses that were left there unsold for a total of just under 350 antlerless white-tailed deer licenses that we did recommend to you. I believe you were in concurrence with that management action, and those remaining licenses were removed from the availability to be sold to hunters yesterday, just a response that we felt was warranted based on comments from our own department staff and the dialogues and conversations they have had with their respective landowners and hunters within those areas. Next bullet there, Chris. So in addition to that, and I don't think we're at this point yet, we want to monitor this for the next couple, 2 to 3 weeks and kind of see where we end up here. But in the past, we have offered voluntary refunds for unit-specific and statewide deer licenses where we felt, you know, it may not have been totally biologically necessary to do, but from the social standpoint and addressing the concerns of landowners and hunters, we felt that was just the right thing to do. Again, don't know if we're there yet, but we will be keeping in communication with you as we learn more about any future reported deer losses to the department. Again, we encourage the public to report these losses. You know, we worked with Chris to do two news releases on that, and those reports are important, and we do take that information seriously. And again, you know, the data that we learn from this year on hemorrhagic losses to deer will be, you know, if warranted, will be incorporated into the development of our future population objectives and the harvest strategies and season recommendations we bring to you as a commission. So, Mr. Chair, that's all I have for an update, and I'd certainly try to answer any questions.
Hey, Chad, any questions? Commissioner Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Sharp here. Has there been any reported incidences of human health issues associated with CWD or EHD?
Through the chair?
Yes.
Commissioner Sharp, good question. As of today, with the knowledge I have based on following, you know, published literature and other research going on, there is no indication at this time that I'm aware of where there is a human health concern related to CWD, nor towards the virus, which is EHD or hemorrhagic disease. So, again, two different monsters here, I guess. One is a prion disease, and the other one is a virus. But to answer your question, Commissioner Sharp, no, there is no human health concerns with these diseases.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? If not, we have three resolutions we have to pick up for the petitions that we denied yesterday.
Correct. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, three resolutions. I do believe they were all emailed to you, but I think between Chris and Rachel, they can put them up on the screen quickly as well, and I will run through them very briefly for you, and then it would ask for your action to adopt the resolutions. I'm not sure if you can adopt them all at one time or if you have to do them individually, but we'll probably take them one at a time just to make sure. The first one is Resolution 2020, and that one is in respect to the petition that was brought forward on the bobcat harvest and talking about extending or removing the 5-day check, and also in respect to the removal of the not having to submit the entire carcass. We had the discussion yesterday. We talked about the points about the necessity of obtaining that biological information in respect to that 5-day time frame, where it doesn't have to be just a conservation officer, it can be any department representative. And as our discussion laid out yesterday, we are more than willing and flexible to work with those individuals. The key is they report them in within that 5-day period, and we'll work with them in actual observation and collecting the information. So try to incorporate those points in Resolution 2020, and if you are accepting of that, we would ask for your approval on this particular resolution.
We have a motion to adopt Resolution 20-20 on the bobcat petition denial.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Not. You want to call the roll? We're doing it that way, I guess.
B.
Aye.
Locken.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sharp.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Whitmire.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
All in favor.
Moving on 20-21. This is in respect to the petition that was submitted on the elk landowner tags. Again, what we talked about, the high-profile elk and the high desire to draw these tags from the concept of we have ongoing discussions right now around the elk tags, in particular as related to landowners. We'll continue those discussions. And with the onset in the process that's taking place right now with the elk management plan, you denied the petition from the standpoint those conversations would continue through that process and those efforts. So, Commissioner, Resolution 20-21 in front of you would ask for your adoption.
We have a motion.
Second.
All right. We're moving along. Any discussion? If not, let's call the roll on that.
D.
Aye.
Locken.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sharp.
Aye.
Spring.
Aye.
Whitmire.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
All in favor.
Commissioners, Resolution 20-22 is in respect to the petition of creating access to Pepper's Slough in Clark County. The discussion around that particular petition was denial from the standpoint of while statute does provide that authority and ask the commission to put together the process, the administrative rules to establish those transportation or navigation lanes across the closed non-manor waters, that has not yet taken place. This petition essentially is the stepping stone for those discussions to begin, and our department will work on that process and those rules and bring forward recommendations for you for discussion and ultimately through the rule promulgation process. So Resolution 2022 in front of you for your adoption.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Not. Oh.
E.
Aye.
Locken.
Aye.
Open. Sharp.
Aye.
Spring.
Aye.
Whitmire.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
All in favor.
All right. I think we're done. So everybody make sure you take this binder that has the commission guidebook from 2007. Please take and review closely the draft governance book that we handed out yesterday. If you have, if you've got changes, questions, whatever, let one of us know. And thanks to Rachel and Chris and everybody else, we got all the kinks worked out. This
maybe
worked really well. We're set to
maybe
go forward and leave the rest of the state into these Zoom hybrid meetings. So thank you. Anybody else have anything? We're adjourned. See you in November.